Good morning. Welcome to worship here at Kemnay Parish Church. Warm welcome to all who are here, all who are watching live online via our streaming service or on catch-up service during the week. Welcome to worship all. A few intimations to share at the start of our time together. First of all, a reminder that this Tuesday at 7 p.m. will be the next gathering of our men's group at the church center. That's 7 p.m. on this Tuesday. And please come along and learn more about Miss Kylie Gunther, our parish assistant who is with us for a year here in Kemnay, and also learn more about the wider ministry and work of Whitworth University, the university which is sending students like Kylie to places such as here in Scotland, throughout America, and other parts of the world to learn more about life, ministry, and the church as well. So please do come along, all interested men, make your interest known, enjoy a time of food, which is always great, and fellowship. The next intimation is about Wednesday training sessions. We've had two Wednesday training sessions so far to do with how do we equip people to help lead worship in church? How do we equip people to enter into the wonderful, joyous task of ministry together through lenses such as pastoral care and leading prayer? And this coming Wednesday, we'll have our third of five training sessions in the church center, which will continue our conversation about how do we lead prayer in worship? What do we understand prayer to be about? So that's this coming Wednesday. We'll continue our conversation. This last Wednesday, we focused on what we call the first prayer in worship, the prayers of thanksgiving, adoration, confession. And this next Wednesday, we'll focus on prayers for the world. So even if you're an old hand at it, or you've never done it before, but would like to learn more about how to do it, why do we do it, please do come along to this training session on Wednesday, 7:30 p.m. in the church center. I've been asked to remind you that an intimation for Christian Aid to please hand in jog, walk, Smarty tubes, and any other donations by this next Sunday, 24th of June. If you are a UK taxpayer, you can gift aid in a Christian Aid envelope from Leslie Mackay. But the deadline for turning in our submissions for Christian Aid is this next Sunday, 24th of June. A reminder as well to mark our diaries for the 15th of July at 12:30 p.m. in the church center. That will have a shared lunch that we can enjoy together. So that's 15th July, 12:30 p.m. Please bring along something to share. A reminder as well that this Tuesday at 12:30 p.m., in the quiet room in the church center, we'll have another session of Winnowers, a time to sit together and quietly reflect on the scripture text for the coming Sunday. And even if you've never been before, all are welcome to come along and join in this time of discerning what the Lord is saying to us through the power of his word. I've also been asked to intimate that our friends in Skene and West Hill Parish Church have compiled a prayer booklet that can be used to enhance our own prayer lives. Copies will be made available next Sunday. One copy is for £3, or you can get two copies for £5. Those will be available next Sunday. At this time, I would invite Miss Anne Brown forward to share an intimation. Anne.
This can be men and ladies, or children as well. I am appealing for someone who knits and someone who crochets to make poppies. I have three different sizes of poppies. These ones were crocheted. And the plan is, because it's the 100th year of the end of the First World War, plan is to have a net of poppies coming from the window. And I would probably need about 1,000 poppies. So, because I didn't realize it was so high, really. So I might need more. But knitted or crocheted, you leave the tags because they're going to go on to the tie on to the net. And I have got some patterns here. If anybody would like a pattern, let me know. The Knit and Natter group on Wednesday at the library, they're helping as well, because they have helped Deeside Fellowship at, no, not Deeside Fellowship, West Hill, the Green Pasture, the Episcopal. So they've been helping them as well. So any time, start now, and there might be 1,000 poppies hanging down there. So if anybody would like a pattern, I only have about 3 or 4, but I can get more copied, and I'll let you see the poppies. So that's for November. Okay, thank you.
And to make it more manageable, thinking, breaking down the math, that's only about 50 poppies a week between now and then. Yeah, so. I hope we'll have some significant interest in helping to create the net of poppies. That'll be a very wonderful and meaningful addition to the church for our observance of the centenary of the armistice. And for one final intimation, I would ask Mrs. Fiona Lister.
Good morning. I would like to thank you, thank those of you who came along to our soup and sweet lunch at Loaves and Fishes yesterday. We managed to raise £350 for the continued work of Loaves and Fishes, which was really good. Just to say, please continue to come along and support us. We are open during the week as well. And if you would like to help in any other way, I will be looking for shoppers end of August. And we're always looking for volunteers, bakers, and things like that as well. But thank you for those that came yesterday.
Good. Thank you, Fiona. And thanks to all who did come along to support the soup and sweet lunch. I will say I had a very nice piece of sticky toffee cake yesterday, so it was quite enjoyable. Are there any other intimations to share with our church family? With those shared, let us enter into worship through the gift of music by singing our first song of praise together, Hear the Call of the Kingdom. And during the singing of this song, your offerings for God's continued work here in Kemnay and beyond will be uplifted.
Let us pray. Abba, Father, Great is your faithfulness to us, your people. You have given us reason to shout and to sing your praises. For you remember us in our neediness. Comfort us in our grief. Encourage us in our fearfulness and love us in our unworthiness. We come to you and offer ourselves, knowing that everything is already yours. As a reflection of that, we bring you our offerings to be used for your glory. Yet we confess that all too often we have offered you less than ourselves, withholding what is owed to you. We have set up our own idols in the form of our jobs, our possessions, our image, our diaries, everything we put before our time with you. We have pled self-sufficiency, opted for our own comfort, and forgotten that you yearned for us completely. So we sit before you, hands upturned, poor and needy. In the next few moments, in the silence of our hearts, we beg your forgiveness, we beg your mercy. God, we rejoice, for your forgiveness is assured. You have lifted us up out of the slimy pit and set our feet on solid ground. You are our help and our deliverer. You call us redeemed. Our mouths are filled with a new song. Our trust is in you, our Savior and our God. We pray to you and with you as we say the words you taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you, Kylie. We continue to worship our God through song with singing our next hymn, Immortal, Invisible.
Oh, yeah.
invite children down for our children's time. Mummies and daddies can come down as well. Martin, if you want to come down with Joshua, you're welcome. Come on, Annabelle. Come on, wee Joshua. Though I hear you're not wee Joshua anymore. You're a big boy now. Yes, that's what you said. Hi, Lewis. Hi, Annabelle. So who knows what this is?
A present.
A present. That's a dynamite answer right there. That's great. Do you agree? Is it a present? What do you think, Joshua? Is this a present? Do you like getting presents?
Yeah.
Yeah, I do too. Who likes getting presents? Raise your hands if you like getting presents. Oh, yes. Many of us. Now, most presents when we get at birthdays or Christmas time or other times, they often have a tag on them telling us who the present is from. Annabelle, who's this present to? It's to you and to me, to Joshua, to Lewis, to everybody here. And who's it from, Lewis? Who's it from? Do you know who that is?
No.
It says, from God. So this is a present from God. Isn't that nice? So you see on the side of the box, it says, gifts from God, right there. The other side, it says, blessings. What's a blessing? Do you know what a blessing is? A gift from God. That's right. We're on to a theme here, aren't we? So let's open the present, shall we? Oh. I did not wrap this, I assure you. I don't have that much talent. Let's see here. And we open it up. Oh, there's something inside. Let's see what we have inside. Oh, it's a message. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now, what in the world does that mean? Is it a good thing to be poor? Does that sound like fun, to be poor, to not have anything? I don't know anybody who likes being poor. So what on earth does this mean? This comes to us from the Bible. Jesus said this. That too. I wish I could roll around like that in church. Doing all right. So blessed are the poor in spirit. This means, simply, Lewis and Joshua and Annabelle, this means blessed are those who need help. Blessed are those who need help. Annabelle, have you ever needed help with anything before? What have you needed help with?
Homework.
Homework, absolutely. Absolutely. Lewis, have you ever needed help with anything?
No.
Martin, I wish I could have a photo of your face right there. It was just like, ah! What are some things that your sons needed help with?
Getting dressed.
Getting dressed, right? Okay, exactly. When I was younger, I needed help from my parents learning how to ride a bicycle as well. I tried and I tried by myself, but it didn't work very well until one day my dad went out with me. And then all he had to do was put his hand on my back to keep me steady as I learned how to ride a two-wheel bicycle. He helped me learn how to do it. I couldn't have done it by myself. So this says that God loves those who ask for help from others and who ask for help from him as well. Every single day, Annabelle, Lewis, and Joshua, and everybody here, we should start each day asking God for help to make it through each day. God loves when we ask him for help. So let's do that now. Let's pray. Dear Father in heaven, thank you for helping us each and every day of our lives. Help us every day to ask you for help. Help us to be poor in spirit. Help us to need you more and more. Thank you for loving us just as we are. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You can go back to your seats now. Kind of like just sitting here. God loves when we ask him for help because our God is so big, he is always able to help us.
My God is so big, so strong, and so mighty. Reading is taken from Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 to 12. That's Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 to 12. And you can find this on page 968 of the Pew Bible. Now, when he saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way, they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Amen. And may God add a blessing to this reading of his most holy word.
Thank you, Suzanne. We continue in worship together with singing our next hymn of praise, "Holy Spirit, Hear Us." Let us pray. Holy Spirit, we do believe that you hear us and you intercede for us with sighs that are too deep for words. As we pause and reflect on the word together, we pray for your inspiration. We pray for your guidance. We pray that you would take this time and deepen our trust in you. We pray these things to you, Father, through the Son, in the power of the Spirit. Amen. So, this week, we are continuing with a series on the first part of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount from Matthew's Gospel. This first part, which is often referred to as the Beatitudes. We've heard before that beatitude means supreme blessedness. Now, along with the Ten Commandments from the Hebrew Bible, we heard that a case can be made that these beatitudes are some of the most transformative words in the entire Bible. Why? Because when they are heard, when they are taken seriously, God uses these beatitudes to create new ways of living in us, new ways of kingdom living. We also heard that when we look at these beatitudes, this list of teachings that Jesus has, that they should not be idealized or legalized. That is, they should not be seen as forever out of our reach, nor should they be taken as some kind of ironclad divine checklist through which we can somehow earn God's favor. Instead, when we hear or read or reflect on the Beatitudes, we encounter a vision of what Daryl Johnson calls gospelized humanity. Gospelized humanity, people whose lives are changed by the gospel, who become beatitude humanity. It is God's work within us, bringing these things forth. The qualities described in the Beatitudes become evident in our lives when God claims us, when the Holy Spirit lives in us, when Christ becomes the great treasure of our lives. That is when we become peacemakers, not through our own efforts, but through God's work within us. That is when we become meek daughters and sons of God. We've also heard how each of these Beatitudes begins with the same word. In the Greek, the word is makarios. Let me say that, makarios. It's often translated as blessed, or more loosely as happy, or even more loosely as congratulations. Feels like a game show now. Each of these translations hints at something of the meaning of makarios. But we would better understand the force of this word if we translate it as you lucky vagabond, or you lucky bum, as we say in the States. Makarios, you lucky bum, you have nothing to offer, but God cannot wait to welcome you to the party. Makarios is not about how we feel about ourselves. It's not about how we might even feel about God. Both of those things are subject to change moment to moment. No. Makarios is about how God feels about us, which never changes. And the good news is that God loves his creation, loves each of us, and nothing can ever separate us from the love of God. And so the Beatitudes, these makarios statements, reveal the character of God and the character of God's kingdom. And so continuing on today, we will look at greater detail at each of these Beatitudes in turn. And so, first up, blessed are the poor in spirit. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the vagabonds. Blessed are the lucky bums. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now, the Bible uses different words to describe poor or poverty. On one hand, there's a kind of poverty described that we might call working poverty, which is the state of having no property, no resources, having to work all the time, getting by with just the bare essentials, a kind of life with absolutely no bells, no whistles, no holidays, just continual work. Yep, that's one kind of poverty. The other kind of poverty that is described in Scripture is a kind of poverty that we might call destitution. A kind of poverty which involves having no other choice than to beg for help from others. This is the kind of poverty when one has absolutely nothing and there is no illusion about it. So which kind of poverty is Jesus talking about when he says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit"? The first kind or the second kind? Second kind. The destitution kind. Blessed are the destitute in spirit. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who come to God with empty hands, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And Jesus isn't just talking about the economically poor, though he does have a lot to say on that subject as well. In this passage, Jesus is talking about the destitute, the poor in spirit. What does it mean to be poor in spirit? I think it means that no matter how much one has or doesn't have in terms of material possessions, it is knowing that one is always, always at the mercy of God. It is knowing that every year, every month, every day, every hour, every minute, every second is a gift to us from Almighty God. There is one theologian who said that it is a feeling of absolute dependence on God. We see this throughout Scripture, this feeling of poverty, of destitution of spirit. If we read through the Psalms, even casually, we'll see it come out at us. Many of the Psalms, as we know, are attributed to King David, who is held up as the greatest king of ancient Israel, a man of wealth, power, knowledge, fame. But on more than one occasion, this great king of Israel used vivid language to describe his poverty of spirit and his absolute need for God. In Psalm 40, he wrote, "May all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. May those who love your salvation say continually, 'Great is the Lord.' But as for me, I am poor, I am needy, but the Lord takes thought for me. You are my help and my deliverer. Do not delay, O my God." And picture King David praying this in his private chambers, in his throne room. At the seat of all power, he says, "I am poor, I am needy, but the Lord takes thought for me." I once heard it said that the poor in spirit are those who know the need for God that we all have. The poor in spirit are those who know the need for God that we all have. I was going to show a video clip this morning, but technology is not functioning properly, or the minister's not, depending. So we'll say, blessed are those whose technology does not work. But it makes me think of a classic timeless movie with Jimmy Stewart, Donna Reed, It's a Wonderful Life. Most of us know the story about George Bailey, who grew up in what town? Bedford Falls, right? And he stays behind, doesn't go off to college, he sacrifices, he chooses to run the family business instead. He goes through thick and thin, facing all kinds of trials and troubles until finally the ground starts to give way beneath him. He comes into a time of crisis. He's about to be arrested and lose everything he's worked so hard to build. He runs into the pub, into Martini's pub, and he sits at the bar at the end of his rope, and he says, "Dear Father in heaven, I am not a praying man." That gets me every time. "But I'm at the end of my rope, and I need you to show me the way." From there, he leaves the pub and goes out to the bridge where he contemplates jumping into the icy black waters just to give up. But then someone jumps in the water ahead of him, a fellow named Clarence, who was an angel in disguise, who saved George's life. George Bailey, in that clip, had to come to a point where he knew his own poverty of spirit. Everything had to be stripped away for him to come back to God, for him to know the need for God that we all have. So even if you've never seen the movie, it's still worth watching. We watch it every Christmas, and it never gets old. Our wealth, the conveniences of our culture, while not bad in themselves, it's not a sin to be wealthy. It's not a sin to have conveniences, but all too often they can create an illusion of self-sufficiency. And like George Bailey in that great movie, we often need to be near the end of our rope before we truly begin to understand our poverty of spirit, before we begin to understand and accept our inescapable need for God. "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Poverty of spirit, the kind that Jesus is talking about, knowing our unquenchable need for the Lord, is the necessary condition for all real spiritual growth. Real spiritual growth, becoming gospelized people, beatitude people, it does not begin with our strength, our abilities, with our resources. We are in such habit, before we come to God, of taking stock of what we have to offer. That's not what it's all about. It starts with the realization that our hands are empty, that our pockets are empty, that we are poor in spirit and in constant need of God's help. There's a great passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 when Paul talks about these grand, ecstatic visions of heaven that he's received. And then he says in the text, "But to keep me from being too elated, a messenger of Satan was sent to torment me. 3 times I pleaded to God to remove this thorn in the flesh from me. But every time God responded, 'My power is perfected, made complete in your weakness. My grace is sufficient for you.'" And Paul came to realize that it was in his weakness, in his poverty of spirit, that the Lord's strength was shining in his life. We often put ourselves down. We often think of ourselves perhaps as people who are less than worthy, who don't measure up, who are inadequate, whose struggles get the better of us, whose struggles disqualify us. I think we all think and feel this way from time to time about ourselves. If this resonates with you, if this kind of thinking is something you have experienced, when you feel such things, rather than despair, rather than beat up on yourself, repeat something. The kingdom is for me. We say that together. The kingdom is for me. That's why Jesus can say, blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who know they need help. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Just let that sink in. The character of the kingdom is revealed in those who know they are inadequate and are in need of God's help. There is nothing more freeing than accepting our need for God. So, if today we struggle with doubt, what do we say? The kingdom is for me. If today we struggle with pain, the kingdom is for me. If we're struggling with worry, the kingdom is for me. If we are struggling with any kind of addiction, the kingdom is for me. If we are struggling with anything at all that threatens to tear us away, to shake our faith, we say, the kingdom is for me. Apart from Jesus, every single human being is spiritually poor. Blessed are those whose hands are empty. Blessed are those who are inadequate. Blessed are we when we admit our spiritual bankruptcy, for that is when we are filled. That is when we receive the kingdom. That is when new life with God can truly begin again. Thanks be to God, for the kingdom is for us. Amen. Blessed are those who know they need help. I need thee every hour.
Let's join in prayer together. Let us pray. Loving God, we come this morning to bring our prayers for the world before your throne. We bring a world, Lord, where news of atrocities and suffering plague our news reports. We bring all people who are suffering before you now. Lord, we pray for the people of the Middle East, where further violence in the area has caused many of your people to flee from their homes. We pray that families may be granted respite in the midst of such horror and war. We ask that adequate help may be provided, spiritually, mentally, and physically, to allow your people to live with one another peacefully. We bring our friends in Lebanon before you, Lord, and ask that you may continue to bless the ministry taking place there. We also pray for all our brothers and sisters in Christ. We bring the people of Africa and of the world to you, where many are unable to feed themselves due to drought. Please be with them as they endure dark times. We pray that all those who hunger may be fed with the love of Jesus Christ and be renewed and strengthened in their love for you. Lord God, we do thank you for the steps being taken to improve relations between nations. We thank you for the recent peace talks between Taliban insurgents and Afghan government, and also with the leaders of the USA and North Korea. May these peace talks be led by your values of grace and equality. We pray that other nations may find hope and use these talks to ignite a peace within them. Closer to home, Lord, we pray for our home country here in Scotland. We give you thanks for all that we have, Father, for education and schools, hospitals and medicine, and for a democracy where we have the right to vote. Help us to be truly thankful for all these things, Lord. We also pray especially for our government and those involved in it. May you guide each of our elected MPs to look to you in times of debate and in decision making. We bring all whom we know and love before you, God. We bring all those who are ill, lonely, depressed, and the bereaved before you, and hand them into your care. We pray especially for the families of Gertie Young today. May you be their light in the darkness. Work through us and help us to be with those who need your help, to be true servants of Christ. We bring all those in our hearts, known to us and to you, in a moment of silence. In Jesus' name, we place all things before you. Amen.
Thank you, Peter. There is never a time when we are not in need of God's help. He is our great shepherd who leads us in pastures green.
You are.
Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the vagabonds. Blessed are those who know they need help. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Go forth from this place today. Embrace your poverty of spirit and wait to be filled anew by the Lord. And may the blessing of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be upon each of us and upon all who we love, this day and forevermore.